Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to Corinth in Your Car. It is Adam, Luke, and Josh. The gang is all here. We are ready to have just a great old time. How are you guys doing this fine Thursday morning that you'll be hearing on Monday?
Yeah.
Last Thursday of school.
Last Thursday of school.
Next Thursday, no school.
Last Thursday.
So here's the thing.
Post-planning, but, you know.
Yeah. So the last week of school, let's just talk about this for just a second.
It's a joke.
It is a joke.
It's already been a joke. It's not even the last week.
I didn't have class the last 3 days, which actually worked out well for me writing a sermon.
Right.
But they just didn't have it.
They just don't do it.
Because it was field day, and it was a field trip, and awards, I mean, all kinds of stuff. So,
where would the line go? So if we go, hey, the last week is pointless, so we should just cancel that.
Well, then it becomes another last week.
And then it becomes another last week. So do we just get to a point to where we just go, school is pointless?
Well,
ask a high school student, they'll tell you. Yeah, high school students have been telling me they've been watching movies for the last week and a half.
Once May is here, I feel like there's a lot.
It's after spring break.
So would April become May if we...
One eighth grade teacher gave a final exam like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Not making this up.
Right.
Yeah.
That's probably smart, though, because the kids are checked out. The teachers are checked out.
Yeah.
Parents are checked out.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. So when did you come down with senioritis?
I never really did.
You didn't?
Yeah.
College I did, because I knew I was coming here. I was ready to move.
Yeah. So my high school experience is drastically different than everybody else's.
Yeah.
And so I actually did a quote-unquote fifth-year senior thing at home.
Right.
So I was done with high school in 2014, but I called myself a senior again so I could take dual credit classes to transfer to Ozark eventually.
Gotcha.
Smart.
So I just stayed home an extra year. And that was like...
So you had senioritis for a year?
I had senioritis for an entire year that time because I was like, I should already be gone.
Yeah.
So,
but you saved some money.
But I saved a ton of money.
Some classes,
I saved a ton
credit,
of money.
Yeah.
And was able to work as well to gain some money too.
Yeah.
And so...
Hey, that's smart, man. Let's just call ourselves fifth year seniors in high school.
Yeah,
take dual credit.
Thing. Yeah. For Ozark, I had senioritis about the entire year as well.
Yeah.
My senior year. Because at that point I had a pretty good idea that I was coming out here.
Similar to me, yeah.
And so I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm ready to let's roll. Let's roll. And also my two best friends, Fox and Dusty, had moved and they were finishing up their school online while they were doing residencies at the churches they're at. And so I was like, all right, well they're gone. What am I here for?
Right. You know, so. Yeah, I think my high school senioritis started my
sophomore year.
Junior. It was definitely my junior year. So it's like, well, I'm almost done. So,
yeah, I mean, for seniors especially, like the seniors haven't even been at school in probably a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have to go to the end.
Yeah. They're just done, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So we had not quite 40 days and 40 nights of rain, but it felt like it.
Animals lining up two by two. I saw them out there.
They were starting. They were finding their buddies.
Yep.
And getting ready. But so that means now here we are. It is mid-May.
Yep.
And so summer is right around the corner. I believe today the high is 86. I think we're supposed to hit the 90s tomorrow.
You know what my brother Clark in Texas told me the weather was?
What?
They've already hit 104.
Wow.
Yikes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that gets me wondering. So, how many times have you turned your air conditioner on?
It's been on for a while.
Often
been for a while already.
Yeah, we. So Tristan and I are the exact opposites in that she is very easily cold, and I'm very easily sweating.
Okay.
And so we have to find some sort of balance. And so at night, whenever we're sleeping, the AC is on.
Okay.
But then we'd kind of like turn it off.
Off or up?
Just off.
All the way
the day.
Off.
Yeah. And it doesn't get too hot like in the
basement.
In the basement.
It's basement. So, yeah. Who cares on that?
It'll go. So the AC, we do 67.
67 at
67
night.
67 at night. And that's too hot for me, really, honestly.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
That's too, like I told her last night.
We're not going to ask. Never mind. Yeah.
I said 60 is
no.
Like ideal for me.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
Anywhere between 60 and 64 is what I had my thermostat set on in my apartment when I lived on my own.
Oh my word.
Yeah, I love it.
Man, that bill would be so high.
Well,
if it wasn't in a basement.
The summer bill was high, but do you know what I did in the winter?
You never turned on the heater.
I didn't turn on the heat. Yeah. And so sometimes during the day to kind of catch up. But like there were mornings in where it was too cold and I like got up out of bed and I looked at the thermostat.
It was like
48, 52. I'm like, ugh. So that was too cold.
Pipes are bursting.
Why are you the way
that you are?
Man, I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding.
What about you, Josh?
Yeah, it's been on, but we keep it very moderate. It's like 74, 75.
During the day or at night or all the time?
That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're about 74, 75 during the day.
Golly.
But at night, I'll crank it down to 70. And when it gets really hot, I may even go down to 68. So, because I can't sleep when it's hot.
Yeah, that's my problem. Like I need at least some sort of cover. And so if I have to have some sort of cover.
Right. Yeah. You're just.
Then I'm really starting to sweat and all that sort of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow, 60 to 64 is the ideal.
That would be perfect for me.
Cool a whole house with that and pay the bill.
We could probably keep hot dogs cool at that temperature, too.
Too soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'd never go bad.
Were they all beef, or were they the cheapest?
I have no idea. I just threw them away.
Yeah. Speaking of something else that happened at youth group last night, why is there a whole head of hair underneath the canopy?
Yeah, last night was a wild night.
Was there just buzz cuts going on for fun?
So after we dismissed the students into small groups and they had their small group time, I walked out and there was a dance party happening in the concourse.
Saw that.
There were about 50 hot dogs hanging from my ceiling office.
Is that human hair? Are we sure?
It's several humans' hair.
And there were...
That's a lot of hair.
I think there were four boys that did buzz cuts.
Oh, no.
So...
Somebody's getting emailed today.
Last night got a little out of control. A little out of control.
Somebody's getting an email.
I have yet. No email yet.
Or
no,
text message.
No email yet. Nothing. You know, it is what it is.
I went through the buzz cut phase. It was not a good phase.
Yeah, well, I told all the boys, I was like, you guys are idiots, because they're like, let's do it. And then they did it, and they're like, why did we do this? This looks so bad. I'm like, yeah. I told you.
Somebody tried to do that. It was either in college or at a CIY, but the clippers they had were absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
And so they got through one, like, kind of one thing. And like, this hurts so bad, but I can't stop
the hairs. Yeah,
because they're already, it's like right down the middle of their head is shaved.
Yeah.
So they have to go through the whole rest.
That's the mistake whenever you go for the buzz cut is if you have any hesitation at all, start with the sides. Because you can always do a high and tight and let that just kind of grow back. And then you still got the mop top on the, on the top. But everybody always just wants to go straight
down the middle. Right down the middle.
And it's like, I get it. There's a no going back after that. But, what if you've got a little bit of second thoughts?
Yeah, too late.
Do you remember the movie Stripes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it wouldn't. It's older than all of us, honestly. But so this is not a recommended movie. This is not your pastor going, hey, everybody go rent and watch Stripes right now. Okay, that's not what this is. But in the scene, whenever they joined the army, like John Candy's in this and Harold Ramis is in it. Bill Murray's in it. So John Candy, they sit him down for the haircut and he's got like this really long hair and they just buzz it all off. And Harold Ramis has, really long hair and they buzz it all off. And then Bill Murray sits down and he goes, yeah, just a little off the sides and off the top. And the guy's like, okay. and John Candy and Harold Ramis are like, that was an option. So that is, I don't know. That would have been funny last night.
That is.
One of your boys is just like, hey, just a little off the top.
A little off the top.
That was an option. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild night.
Wild stuff. So all really, right.
People are excited and students were yelling, running down the hall. It was awesome.
It was a great night.
And I saw a couple of those students in my class this morning and I said to one of them, hey, you were really excited last night in the hallway, weren't you? And her friend looked at her and she goes, I knew he was going to say that because they both looked at us last night. It was funny.
All right, guys, it is time for everybody's favorite segment in the news.
There will never be a time where the bleep effect is not funny.
Yeah.
Every time it's funny.
It's pretty good.
That's not the bleep, but
no.
There you go.
That's hilarious.
All right, guys. So you got two options there, and let you guys pick.
I think we have to go with one.
Yeah, number one. I mean, okay. He's...
All right. So the headline is this. Paul Pierce. So this is a former...
The truth.
I would call him a Celtic great, but I'm not going to do that because he went to Kansas. And so former great faker Paul Pierce, who got wheeled off in a wheelchair and was back in the game 10 minutes later in the finals against the Lakers, says he walked 20 miles to work in a robe as punishment for guaranteeing a Celtics win. So this was after game two against the Knicks. Before he told everybody that he was so confident that he would walk to work barefoot in my robe if they lost for a second straight game in that series. And the Celtics ended up blowing a 20-point lead in game two there and lost 91-90. And so Pierce, it says, appeared to honor his vow Thursday. I don't know if appeared is carrying a lot of weight there. Saying that he set out before the sun rose for what he said was a 20.2-mile commute to work in the Los Angeles area.
Uphill both ways in the snow.
He posted updates on Instagram Live, and he made the wise choice of not walking barefoot, but bathrobed. Yes. So,
1 p.m. he got there. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yep. So, anyway, I don't know. Do you think he really did it?
I mean, if he IG Lived it.
He didn't IG Live the whole thing.
Not the whole thing, yeah.
I mean, maybe he did. He could have had a driver behind him.
Maybe he did that, yeah, like on The Office when they called the taxi to help him.
I mean, to me, what it sounds like is...
20 miles is
a long walk. Yeah.
I don't think he did it.
Yeah, I don't think he did either. I mean, he lied about being injured and rolled off in a wheelchair and came back 10 minutes later and was fine.
Maybe there was one of those funny is it though, scooters you can rent, you know?
Yeah, how funny is it though that he's doing this in L.A. All the years he's played for Boston, and Boston and L.A. hate each other so much, and then
he is from L.A.
Where does he move back to L.A.?
He's an L.A. guy.
Yeah,
that's where he's originally from.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think he just wanted to go to work late. That's what I think.
Think he just wanted attention.
Paul Pierce? No way.
I think he wanted attention.
No way.
Yeah.
So there we go. That is in the news for the day. And Celtics, did they lose? Did they play last night? Have they been?
I have no idea what's happening in the NBA right now. So did the Warriors lose because Curry's out?
They've been losing. I don't know what.
I don't even know who's in anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. I know that Jason Tatum tore his Achilles.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's no bueno.
Yeah, that's a real injury, unlike what Paul Pierce had. So. All right. So here we are. We're in we're recapping this morning a week four of Frequency, tuning into the voice of God. And this week we are reviewing Josh's sermon, which is all about the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Fun fact, you guys know this, but it seems like the last 2 years in our Easter surveys, the Holy Spirit has been both times one of the top ranked.
Yep.
Subjects that people would like to hear a little bit more about. And Josh, I think even in your sermon, you talked about it just as...
Grown up.
Yeah. It just hasn't been a... especially in our movement.
In our movement, yeah. And I think... I don't think I put this joke in there. I think it was maybe J.D. Greer that said it this way, that most churches talk about the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Bible. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Bible is the word of God, but yeah, the Holy Spirit. That's why there's so many books. I think I took this line out, but so many books like Francis Chan, "Forgotten God," or Tyler Staton wrote one recently called "The Familiar Stranger," all about the Holy Spirit, because we just forget about him. So
yeah.
So we went there to talk about him. We already were planning on it before the survey,
correct?
So it kind of helps out.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously, how to hear from God. The Holy Spirit is God.
Yeah.
And so that's how we hear from him. And he most commonly speaks, I believe, through promptings and situations. And it's, I mean, he speaks through all of it. So he He speaks as you read the scriptures. He speaks mm-hmm. as you pray. He speaks through people.
Yeah.
But what we focused in on, I guess, was the inner promptings of the Spirit.
Yeah, no, and I think it's interesting, you know, I think it was your dad that used to say, and if not, we'll just give your dad credit for it, because why not? That the Holy Spirit is like that one member of the family that shows up to the family reunion that you just don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah,
they're the unpredictable one, yeah.
They're the unpredictable yeah. one. Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, as you kind of think through it, that's probably why we are more, would you guys use the word uncomfortable?
I think
disgusting.
If we define uncomfortable, not uncomfortable like, oh no,
correct.
I'm nervous, but just uncomfortable like I don't know what, yeah,
right.
what is going on.
Something in me is being stretched, and that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Well, even in just yeah. talking about, just you know, teaching, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, whenever it comes down to like even teaching on it, mm-hmm. it's not the easiest thing in the world, because, you know, if Jesus describes the Spirit as the wind and it blows whichever way it pleases,
yeah.
that means the Spirit is... There is an unpredictableness
yeah,
to 100%. To the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes, you know, whenever you're trying to structure a lesson on the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like, well, sometimes it's like this, sometimes it's like this, could yeah. be like this, could be this.
Yeah, it's hard to fit.
It's like nail and jello to the wall. This,
it's hard to fit a teaching on the Spirit into some sort of structure.
Yeah.
Because the moment that you do that, the Spirit's like, I'm going outside that structure.
Yeah.
Well, you know? And part of it, I think, as we talk now, is because of how, I don't know that weaponized is the right word, but... how the Holy Spirit has been used maybe incorrectly.
Absolutely.
For any tradition mm-hmm. to say you have to believe this about the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. or this is the right way to have interactions with the Spirit, and mm-hmm. if you don't, then you're not really a Christian.
Right.
And really the reality is, to be a Christian, one of the essentials of our faith,
yes.
like this is one of the few that is absolutely essential,
because yep.
you do have to be in like marked by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, Ephesians then, 1, sealed.
But
yeah.
then how people define that, I think, has been tricky in the past. And yeah, it yeah. becomes a, like I said, not a weapon, but it can become...
It can become contentious.
Contentious. Yeah, that's good.
You know, to where, once again, we want to take something, someone that is described as the wind,
mm-hmm.
and we want to say, and it can only, and you can only operate... And this is how you operate.
Yeah.
And that's just not a fair... It's probably not a great idea to do that with any member of the Trinity, honestly.
Right.
Because...
Well, sure. But the other two have names.
The other two have
Father
names.
Father is named, mm-hmm. and we have a box for that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has a name
mm-hmm.
as well.
And even Son, we have a
name. Son, we kind of have an understanding of, but yeah. Spirit, wind is... Yep.
Breath.
Just unpredictable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's great stuff. So we've kind of been setting the stage just a little bit, but Josh, just kind of just in a couple of sentences here. So where did we go? Why did you pick the passage that you picked? Just kind of help us, remind us, refresh us, you know, as we are listening to this. It's been, you know, almost 24 hours probably at the freshest that for some sure. people who have listened to this. So where did we go?
Yeah, John 16, because that is the night before Jesus is crucified, and it's his going away speech where he just gives a lot of reminders and teachings, and a big portion of that is the Holy Spirit. Last year, I did the Easter, you know, survey says about the Holy Spirit, so we ended up a little bit in John 16, but also John 14, and just mm-hmm. this year we focused in on John 16,
mm-hmm.
Just to get to the promptings. And talk about that specifically. So
okay.
last year the joke was, I'm going to describe a third of the Trinity in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Obviously not, because you can't.
Yeah.
But it's probably one of those that's going to come up every year, and we'll keep on going back to Holy
no.
Spirit stuff. Yeah,
no, absolutely. Even as we think about where we're going next year already, I mean,
there's
going to be some in-depth teaching on,
yeah.
on the Spirit.
Holy Spirit is the main character in the book of Acts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yep.
Acts of the Holy Spirit, you could rename it, actually.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
You really could. So, Luke, jump up in your blimp and just kind of look down at the message. Give us some 30,000-foot thoughts is just kind of what stuck out to you there.
I had two thoughts, and they come from a little bit of the context of where I went with the high school students last night. But when it comes to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God within you in the form of the Spirit, you're not going to hear the promptings or feel the Spirit if you don't want to hear the promptings or feel the Spirit.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is not that I think a lot of Christians are over here blatantly saying, I don't want to feel the presence of God, or I don't want to be prompted by the Spirit. But I do think that many of us, and there have been times in my life where this has been true, we actually are afraid of God's presence and afraid of a prompting from the Spirit, because we know that as soon as we step into it or as soon as we hear it, it's going to ask us to do something that will make us feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so it's easier just to not want it at all and to avoid it, rather than to be asked to take a step of obedience that I'm not willing to take.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not going to hear the prompting of the Spirit if you don't want to hear the prompting of the Spirit. You're also, and this is the second thought, and Adam, you've talked about this before, you're not going to hear the prompting of the Spirit if you continually disregard the prompting that the Spirit yeah. gives you.
Yeah.
And so it's like this, the illustration you've used is snoozing the alarm. Like
mm-hmm.
the Spirit prompts, the Spirit prompts, the Spirit prompts, the Spirit prompts, and you keep hitting snooze, 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 snooze. At a certain point, you're not going to hear it anymore. And
right. yep.
and so it's really, this message hopefully is helpful to everyone, to be like, okay, no, like this is the business of the Spirit. He will ask us to do things that are uncomfortable, and that's good. And so let's be okay with that.
Yeah. No, I was just looking up just some cross-references here. So, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're told not to extinguish the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, we're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 7, Stephen lights in to the leaders of the day and
says— ignored the Holy Spirit.
You always resist
yep. yeah.
the Holy Spirit. John tells us we need to test the spirits, you know. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, it's just a very common theme here that, part of being a follower of Jesus is just learning to live by the Spirit. And that's the big part of that's going to be through the promptings. And so Josh, you went to John chapter 16. So last night of Jesus's life, this is after washing the feet, trying to get my chronological life of Christ in order here, right before his prayer in the garden. And it is, verse 7 is really kind of probably the, is it okay if I call that the linchpin of the sermon?
Absolutely.
To where Jesus says, hey, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. So this is, the disciples are obviously distraught because Jesus is like, I'm going to die, you know, I'm leaving you. And he's like, hey, this is actually good for you. And so let's throw ourselves into their sandals for just a second. And this is a weird night, man.
Yeah, really weird.
I mean, can you imagine the emotional roller coaster that you are on?
Yeah.
Because it's not just a weird night, it's been a weird week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've triumphal entry, you've seven woed, all kinds of teaching. There's been so...
Mary has anointed his feet with the perfume and all the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there have been so many things that have just taken place, and now here's this last night, and he's washed your feet. He's talked about a vine and its branches, and, you know, he's told him he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But how sharp do we think the disciples actually are at this point?
Man,
it's hard to tell.
I think they were so focused on what they thought Messiah to be and to do that it was almost like they were blind to what Messiah said blatantly to their faces.
Yeah.
Glad I don't do that.
And so it's like,
well, it's partly because there was no, there was no imagination or context.
Right. Yeah.
Like no one thought
especially,
that was,
especially yeah. after, if you add the context of the triumphal entry, like if what you're expecting Jesus to do is to come and reign in Israel and all these different things, like you walk in, you know, I think it's Mark chapter 11 from Mark's gospel. You walk into the city of Jerusalem. And you're being greeted and Hosanna, 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 palm branches and all these different things. Like, if you're a disciple in that moment, you're thinking like, oh man, finally.
Yeah.
Let's roll. Let's go. Let's go.
Well, yeah, but then Jesus, and it's in chapter 15. He's just like, okay, love each other. And hey, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first.
Right.
And then he just starts going on. It's just like, hey, remember what I told you. Server's not greater than his master. They persecuted me. They're going to persecute whoever, you know. I mean, it's just all these kind of things of just, it's just this weird stretch of just like, oh my goodness. Wait a second. I liked it whenever you were, well, I kind of liked it when you were washing my feet. That was kind of cool. You know, the whole vine and the branches. Awesome, bro. I'm with you. You've told us the way to the Father, but you've also told us that you're leaving. And now you're telling us people are going to hate us. Where are you going with all of this? Yeah. And then it's just like, hey, but I'm going to send you an advocate.
Yeah.
I'm going to send somebody to be alongside of you. And so don't be scared and don't be afraid. Don't grieve that I'm telling you that I've got to go away, because it's actually best for me to do that.
Yeah.
And Josh, I thought you did a good job of, this might be one of those verses to where, we may not believe Jesus. How about that? Let's just throw it out there as a hot take.
Yeah. Well, I asked my eighth graders today, this question. I was like, do you wish Jesus was still on earth? And, most of them were like, it'd be so cool because you could ask him for advice.
Yeah.
And you could pray right to him. And you could go meet him and see what he's like face to face. I was like, yes, absolutely. But one girl, it was Aniston, right? So she's like,
jump Corinth.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, but if he didn't live here, I couldn't see him.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so this may be that one verse to where, I mean, there's multiple verses, I think, that if
there's a lot,
we say we like believe.
The entirety of the Sermon on the Mount, unfortunately, for a lot of us.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, I'm myself included, right?
Yeah, like absolutely.
It's some of the hardest stuff to live by.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, but whenever Jesus says, it'd be great if it's better that I go away, I don't know. I think that intellectually, we would all say, oh, sure, I get that. The spirit inside me is better than Jesus beside me, you know. But sometimes I wonder if truth serum, if there is not just something there to all of us to where it's just like, yeah, I get that. But man, if he was like literally standing in front of me, that might help a few things there. So he calls the Holy Spirit the advocate. So Josh, any insight into why that title, or what that title kind of means? I mean, is that a little bit different than other places? I mean, helper, counselor, comforter, I mean, all kinds of things there. But what kind of insight you got for us?
Yeah, the Greek word is paraclete. Okay. And it's only used a few times. It's all in here, I think. It's just literally the word means someone who is called alongside.
Right.
Kaleo is call, and para is like alongside, like a para church ministry or something like that.
Yeah. Right.
Or para pro at school.
Or a parable.
Or a parable. Throw alongside, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a hard one to translate, which is why some translations say advocate, some say helper, some say counselor or comforter. But it all, it's because it's an all-encompassing word. It's someone who is alongside of you to almost your defense attorney, or someone who is your counselor or your helper or your guide. All of it at once.
So since it is difficult to translate, and so that gives us a handful of options, so to speak. Which image, helper, counselor, comforter, advocate, what image resonates the most with you? Kind of just helps you get your brain kind of around it, and even your soul around it. That's for both of you.
Yeah. I'll say this, and not that I'm saying this is wrong, but just for me, not comforter.
Okay.
And it's
because our modern day definition of comfort has been changed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fluffy bank.
So for me, just not that one. I think more along the lines of helper.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the Holy Spirit had an Enneagram number, it's probably two. You know.
I don't know, dude. That's funny. I'm gonna say advocate. Because of an advocate, I think of an advocate as someone who is a spokesperson.
Okay.
So whether it's foster care or legal situations where you need someone to speak on your behalf, a weaker party that needs a stronger party in some senses,
mm-hmm.
that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he's advocating on the behalf of the believer, but also you never see him point at himself. He's always mm-hmm. pointing at yeah, Jesus, right. the one who is mm-hmm. named,
yep.
and saying, man, I'm advocating for him. Like, let's yeah. just keep talking about him
yeah.
all the time.
You know what Andy Mineo does with this?
I think you said this before, but I cannot remember.
So he's got a line in a song. I don't remember which song, where he's talking about the Spirit, and he says something about
Paraclete.
Yeah. So he says he uses Paraclete. He's uh-huh. talking about got the Spirit as an advocate, Paraclete. Got him with me like a pair of
Paracletes.
Yeah. Like he's wearing a pair of cleats. It was uh-huh. it's kind of comical.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So he also says there that the Spirit is going to convict the world of sin. So let's help the people understand here, guys. What is the difference between conviction and condemnation? How would you differentiate between the two?
What it moves you to.
Okay.
So conviction moves you towards repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Condemnation moves you towards shame.
Yeah. And so I'll go this route then. I'll say the heart from which it comes. Conviction is a heart that says, I want you to succeed in the future and change because this is about discipleship. Condemnation is you deserve to suffer. And so,
yeah,
bye, you know.
Right.
You deserve to suffer,
right?
So bye.
Yeah. I mean, to use the word, it's convicting. Talking about just your other relationships in life too. So think about parenting. Mm-hmm. How are you parenting your children? Is it out of a spirit of conviction or condemnation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or is it a spirit of discipleship or just punishment?
Yes.
There's drastically different approaches.
Have you guys seen the Thunderbolts movie yet?
Mm-mm.
That new Marvel one? We went and saw it on Tuesday. And really, really good. Really, really. Marvel may be back, y'all.
Yeah. I've kind of not.
This,
I haven't.
Is this the recommended movie now from Pastor Adam?
Yeah. There's actually some really strong
spiritual
themes in it. And anyway, there's this one time whenever Yelena, which is the Black Widow's sister. So this is Florence Pugh's character. Florence Pugh, is that her name? Is that right?
Sounds right.
Okay. Anyway, she just talks about all I do is. I go home and I scroll on my phone and I feel bad about myself. Then I drink and so I feel worse. And so I go back and scroll on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like this never ending cycle. And to me, that's condemnation. It's the never ending cycle of I'm not good. I can't do this. And it's just, it's a bringing down, where conviction is that I think in many ways it's a calling up.
Yeah.
Of there's something better for you. And that's what conviction does. That's what the Spirit does, is like, hey, you belong to the one true God of the universe, the one who created all things, who loves you. You are his or her, you are his beloved son or daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's live according to that identity, where condemnation is you're just never going to get there. You're never going to get there. You're stuck in the doom scroll.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the Spirit is doing for us. And so I think that that's one of the great things that Jesus is helping us see, is that it's going to convict the world of sin. Now, I think it's interesting that Jesus does make that without knowing the Greek language of it, he does make that a broader conviction than just, hey, Josh, Adam, and Luke, and Corinth
right.
Christians, you're going to be convicted of sin through the Spirit.
Right.
But it's actually the entire world. I don't know if that would be telos or...
And something to think about that too. The spirit always embodies like a people.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what that means is the conviction actually comes through the church and how the church lives its life.
Correct.
So not that we go hold the picket sign and shout with the bullhorns and all that stuff like some people do on the way into the Kentucky Derby or some of those places, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But just, that was one of the points that one of the commentaries made, is like, hey, listen, the Spirit embodies people and groups of people. So it's his conviction is not just general or nebulous. Like, it comes through the way we live. So,
well, is it, see the first or second Corinthians or third? We don't know. but to where, where Paul talks about your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Okay. So
there's two places because
But so that is a singular idea to where as individuals our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But piggyback off what Josh is saying is that means whenever a collection of temples of the body of the Holy Spirit gather together, then as the church, that is what we are doing. And so the way that we live as individuals, the way that we are embodying this as churches, is what brings conviction of sin.
Yeah. And so last night I gave the high school students a framework, a very different type of sermon, very heady, all that sort of stuff. I gave them a framework for the theology of the presence of God.
Okay.
And it's basically breaking it down that we were created to be with God. God is holy. We are sinful. And so we can't be with him unless our sin is dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Through what Jesus has accomplished, we can be made holy so that we can be with God. And then the third piece of the framework is actually the presence of God is like intersecting with the world through you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's the whole idea of like the Old Testament tabernacle temple. The Israelites nicknamed that place heaven and earth because it's like the quite literal place where heaven intersects with mankind on earth. And so you now go to that's why the conversation in John chapter 4 that Jesus has with the woman at the well is so important. Mm-hmm. She's like, hey, which mountain are we supposed to worship on? Because we think it's this one, but you Jews think it's in Jerusalem. And Jesus is like, yeah. Don't worry. There's time coming pretty quick where it won't matter. And over and over and over again. Okay, 70 years after Jesus is around, temple's destroyed. That's because we don't need it anymore.
Right.
And the temple is now 1 Corinthians 6:19. The temple is now in it's the body of the believers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are heaven and earth. The presence of God intersects with mankind through us.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So much stuff. We could talk for quite a while.
Yeah, we're not very far on this outline, are we?
No. we're about to jump ahead, though. Great stuff, Josh. And so where that kind of led, so going back to what this sermon is actually about, is that the one of the primary ways that we can tune into God's voice is through the promptings of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you gave us just kind of a little bit of, well, we'll just use the same language vocabulary here, a little bit of framework to kind of be able to understand, is this the Holy Spirit prompting me to do this? And you gave us, I don't know, can we call them tests or filters or, you know, to kind of begin to work through this? So he will never contradict God's word. He will never motivate selfishness. He will often challenge you to take a risk or feel awkward, and he will often require sacrifice. So let's just kind of walk through this for just a second. So why do you think, Josh, and it's right. So, but what does it look like to check your promptings against Scripture? Why is that so important? And the answer is because he's never going to contradict God's word. So you don't have to answer that.
So how do you do it?
How do you do this?
I mean, you just have to know the word, which is kind of why we talk about that rhythm being so important. Just not that we have to be brainiacs and know all the Bible verses, but when you regularly sit under the authority of the Scriptures, it also just changes your heart attitude to be responsive and submissive instead of pushing yourself to the front. And then, of course, we could go a thousand different ways on these tests and stuff too. So I think part of it is surrounding yourself with people that know the word as well, which is, you know, you've already talked about people, so we're not going to go there, but just people that also are wise and know the word. You know, one of my favorite verses is just, forget where it is, but you consider the outcome of their way of life and you imitate their faith. Like, surround yourself with people that are like that and that know the Scriptures. And so you can also kind of run it through that filter as well. But yeah, know the word, read it, ask questions, write them down, read commentaries or watch Bible Project videos or Right Now Media. I mean, there's all sorts of things out there.
So do either of you have some verses, passages, truths that you just kind of keep in your back pocket to kind of help you begin to filter and discern?
I think some of those daily prayers that we all have in some sense kind of put in a little journal or a Bible always help us to remember what are the things that we want to be about every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the, you know, I think, Luke, it's one of your favorite, just the will of God. You want to know the will of God is? It's actually pretty easy.
Yes. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so just some of those I would go back to.
One of the ones for me, and I just know myself and where I can tend to step outside of God's design for my life is with my mouth.
Yeah,
Scripture is really clear that with your mouth you are either going to speak life or death.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 just has always been an important verse for me to think through daily. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And it's not that I'm over here, you know, just dropping F-bombs all the time or anything.
Well, that's
like
not
that.
The definition of that's unwholesome.
That's not the definition.
Because the last part of that verse, what does it say?
It says, only let which is good come out.
For building others up.
Yeah. Right.
And so, I kind of can naturally find myself going too far and teasing and razzing and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, ooh, hold on.
Yeah.
That's not what my mouth is to be used for. And so if I end up saying something that does not build someone up, that contradicts God's word. So therefore, I did not let the Spirit guide my mouth.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just filtering that verse back to the Spirit conversation, right? Like, but if words came out of my mouth that did build someone up, which, by the way, confession, is not natural for me. Like, I do not have the gift of encouragement as some other people do. But even more so then, mm-hmm. if words like that come out of my mouth, then I know, oh, that was the Spirit speaking through me and molding me more into the image of Jesus. So mm-hmm.
yeah. So he'll never contradict God's word. He'll never motivate selfishness. So I think one of the key points here is that we've got to be able to discern between Spirit-led prompting and self-serving impulse.
Yeah.
So where did you end up, Josh? Who did you end up making fun of in this section? Did you make fun of the single guy still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it? Just, you know, some single guys are like, hey, the Spirit told me we need to be together.
Yeah.
She's like, well, Spirit didn't tell me.
Yeah, yeah, the Spirit didn't tell me. The Spirit told me to block your number.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So have you ever used that line? Did you ever use that line?
Mm-mm. I never did.
Did you ever use that line, Josh?
No.
Yeah. Me
Adam did.
Me either.
Adam
All
did.
Right.
So actually, I didn't go into this in the message or anything, but I really was thinking during this section about the Acts 5 moment.
Ananias and Sapphira. Ooh.
Because we just, it's kind of like Judas in the Bible. He's always known as the betrayer. But there was a time when he wasn't that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When he was like all in.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think maybe Ananias and Sapphira had a real Spirit-led moment of sacrificial giving.
Yeah.
And then something shifted where they're like, oh, well, I don't know. What we could do now that we've actually already obeyed the Spirit, but now we're going to go back on it.
Right.
I don't know if that's what happened or not, but the Spirit was leading all sorts of other people to do that too.
Where did I recently hear the joke? Somebody, was it in one of our messages or, I'm sorry, this sounds horrible. I know I didn't tell it. And so I've been up lately, but it's the old joke of, you know, a farmer goes to the preacher and says, hey, God's led me.
Oh.
This is Jason King. Jason King's been sharing this.
That's what it was.
Yeah, he said that.
Okay, at one of those meetings. Yeah, you know, God's led me to, I've got twin calves coming, and God's led me to give one of the calves
to the church.
To the church. And so a few weeks later, comes up to the preacher and he says, hey, preacher, got bad news. God's calf died, you know. And so that's kind of where Ananias and Sapphira could be.
Yeah, yeah. And so I don't know. I was just thinking about that situation. Like, yeah. was it a spirit-led moment initially?
Yeah.
And they said yes. I mean, were they trying to trick the whole time? I don't necessarily think so. We don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know.
But it could have been
yeah.
like a real true spirit-led moment to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then
they could have been inspired by Barnabas. And,
exactly.
But then after they did it and they had all the money in their hands, they're like,
oh, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of gold.
That's a lot of gold. You know, and what was sad about that situation is that they could have just said to the church, mm-hmm. hey, yeah, we sold the land and here's a portion of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But even in that moment, Peter says, what, you lied to the
Holy Spirit. Yeah. So we shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And can you imagine how different church would be if we were lying to the Holy Spirit, we just started dropping dead? That'd make a different communion meditation.
Attendance might be low.
It'd be different. I mean,
so
yeah.
Yeah. The Spirit will often challenge you to take a risk or a reward or to feel awkward. So let's just answer this one quickly. How do you get more comfortable being awkward?
You get over yourself, man. Yeah. Like I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but seriously, this isn't about you.
Uh-huh.
Who cares how you look?
Mm-hmm.
Get over yourself. I think that one of the reasons we don't like feeling awkward is because we're proud.
Sure.
It's like, I don't want to appear this way, to this person. I don't want to be the dude that looks weird. I don't want to, you know, be the guy that walks up to someone and ask, hey, how can I pray for you? It just felt like the Spirit was asking me to come over here and ask you that question. Cause golly, that's weird.
It is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so just get over yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Josh.
Yeah. I mean, I would, I guess not to say the same thing. I'll just pick something else. Mm-hmm. Just do it. and then you, I guess you get more used to it. And I think
that's what I was going to say.
Just get more used to that feeling. And I guess here's where I will go with it. It goes into the challenge, just obey one prompting,
mm-hmm.
because on the other side of that, maybe it's years until you really find out what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But often, it's pretty quick, because you find out, oh, that person was open to me praying with them, or, oh, I gave them the $5. It's the, you know, Mary Zusiak story, the girl was having a diabetic just kind of event where she needed that food and she couldn't buy it without the $5. And you see it pretty quickly. And so it's exciting because you're like, oh, God was like, Holy Spirit was speaking to me and I followed. And so that gives you more motivation to do it than the next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you think about the most awkward person, you know, okay, how did they get so good at being awkward? Is they just kept being awkward. Mm-hmm. And so they just kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
And so in many ways, that is kind of what it is, to where it's just like the more times we step into the awkward, the more comfortable you'll be with being awkward. And then I honestly think that flows right into your last one of, it'll often require sacrifice, because what if the sacrifice is just simply, one of these sacrifices is just my pride or my feeling of comfort, my feeling of being in control. And, you know, so taking that step of obedience can lead to all kinds of benefits from just saying, I took the risk, mm-hmm. I sacrificed, and here I am now.
Yeah, I tell our students all the time, if you're a follower of Jesus, you should be weird. Like, you should be, and not necessarily weird in the context of just
what will people say if they hear that I'm a Jesus freak,
right? Yeah, but it's
what
just
will
like
people say
whenever you look at this is the battle that we fight, right? It's against flesh and blood. It's worldliness versus spirit-led life, right? And so, mm-hmm. like, when it comes to the world, you should look weird mm-hmm. to the world, because you obey promptings, because mm-hmm. you speak differently, because you spend your time differently, because you use your money differently, because you date differently, and all of these different things.
Sometimes you don't laugh at the jokes,
right?
Or you speak into, you know,
or you tell a joke about two cans. Don't get any laughs.
That's right.
But, you know, I just kind of love it. You know, so Spirit inside of you is better than Jesus beside you. Obey one prompting, because what if What if that one prompting could save a life, launch a ministry, heal a relationship?
Yep.
What if? And the answer is we don't know what will come of that.
You don't know until you obey.
But you won't know until you obey. So great stuff.
And here's the deal. If you have a prompting that is not about you, but it's about Jesus, and it's for someone else's good, even if it wasn't technically the Holy Spirit, right, what's wrong with that? Like, just do it anyway. So,
right,
you know, yeah. If you run it through the filter, I don't really know how you can go wrong.
Well, and wouldn't we expect that the longer we walk with Jesus, that the more frequent those promptings may become? And it may be, it's just like, and Oswald Chambers talks about this, you know, that whenever we're walking in step with Jesus, sometimes the promptings of the Holy Spirit are actually just our common sense.
Right.
Yes.
Because we are so in tune with who Jesus is and what God wants for our lives, that just good old plain common sense, which isn't so common anymore, but just good old plain common sense can actually be the Spirit's directing in your life.
Can I end with a Dallas Willard quote?
Do it.
No.
He has a book called Hearing God.
Okay.
And this is part of the study. I don't think I put it in the sermon, but here's what he says. Learning to hear God is much more about becoming comfortable in a continuing conversation and learning to constantly lean on the goodness and love of God. It's that more than it is about turning God into an ATM for advice or treating the Bible as a crystal ball.
Yeah.
It's just normal listening and conversing.
Yeah. So great stuff, Josh. Everybody jump on your dashboards during the week, and we've got devotional content for the entire week for 5 days there to be able to just kind of review and refresh and remind ourselves of the teaching that we got. Then Luke, you're wrapping up series next week. And so we've done scripture, we've done prayer, we've done others, we've done the Holy Spirit, and Luke's bringing the pain to wrap up our series.
Yeah. What does C.S. Lewis say? The
megaphone
of God is our pain.
Yeah.
Shouts to us in our pain.
Yeah.
All right.
Hot Rod says life is pain. But I probably won't use him.
Shane Falco says, pain is temporary, chicks dig scars, and glory lasts forever.
Amen.
So, soccer shirt in high school said, pain is weakness leaving the body.
That's right. Yeah.
So,
all right, guys, we're going to wrap up with a game, and I'm really excited about this game. This game is called Florida Man or Not.
Okay.
And so I'm going to give you headlines, and you're going to tell me if it is real or fake.
Okay.
Real or fake. They all start with Florida Man. Everybody loves Florida Man, right?
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you see Florida Man, just know this is a story I got to do. So here's headline number one, real or fake. Florida man tries to evade arrest by cartwheeling away from cops. Real or fake?
Real.
I want it to be real. And because it's Florida man, it's probably real. But there's no way. It's got to be fake.
That is real.
Gosh,
that was real. So I've got links for all these guys. If you
know. I believe you. So, I'll take your word for it.
Okay, so Josh is up 1-0. You guys got to keep score.
Okay,
got to keep score. Number two, I got 10 of these.
Ooh,
Florida man caught feeding iguanas to alligator in park pond.
True,
real or fake?
Yeah, I'll say true on that one.
That is real well.
I've read that one.
All right,
I know it's true.
All right, so we are. Let me see. Josh has 2. Luke has 1. Number 3.
I could just guess the same as you from here on out and guarantee.
I'm not going to do that. All right. Number 3. Florida man arrested for trying to steal 7-Eleven hot dog roller by strapping it to his bicycle.
I want that one to be true.
I'm just going to say true again.
False.
Why not?
Not real.
That is fake.
Okay. Yeah.
So that is fake.
That's how they got him here last night.
That's how they got him here.
Oh, yeah. Hot dogs.
All right, so we're tied, 2-2. Number 4, Florida man caught on video stealing crossbow by stuffing it down his pants.
Oh, true.
It's a bad idea, man.
Real bad idea.
Oh, man. True.
It is real.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some big pants.
All right, so we're 3-3. Wearing some JNCOs.
Yeah.
All right, number 5, Florida man fakes heart attack to steal Snickers bar.
That's false. That's too weak. That sounds like a Georgia man thing. That's not a Florida man thing.
Welcome County man. All right. That is fake.
All right. We're tied again.
All right. So
no.
You're up.
Josh is up. Luke is up. 4-3 now.
4-3.
All right. Number six, Florida man uses drone to drop explosives on ex-girlfriend's house.
True.
Fake.
That is real.
Oh, man.
That is real. We're tied again. 4-4. Florida man accused of riding manatee says, I was only hugging it.
True.
Barbara, manatee. Fake.
That is real.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Number eight. So Josh is up again. So yeah. 5-4. Florida man arrested after trying to baptize strangers at a car wash.
Holy Spirit told me.
Holy Spirit told me.
I don't know.
He was Methodist.
True. You can't immerse at the car wash, so it probably wasn't the Spirit.
It was a Methodist.
Oh, man. I'm going to stay on the fake train.
And Josh, yeah. What did you say?
I said true.
And it's fake.
Okay.
Tied again?
Tied again. 5-5. All right.
Hold on. How is it 5-5?
Well, because you've gotten 5 right, he's gotten 5 right.
Right, but you haven't done 10 questions.
No. But you've gotten 5 correct, he's gotten
sometimes
5.
Sometimes we've both gotten it correct.
Because sometimes you've both gotten them correct.
You're right. There we go.
Yeah.
Homeschooler.
Yeah, it's all right. That's all right, man. It's okay. We got you. We'll take care of you.
Still before noon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number 9. Florida man steals 1,000 toothbrushes, throws them off a bridge during police chase.
True.
True.
That is real.
Yep.
6-6. All right, here we go. The last one. And we're either going to tie or somebody's going to win.
Yeah. That's out of the options.
This may be my favorite headline of all time. We'll just have to decide if it's real or not.
Right.
Florida man disguised as bull tries to burn down ex's house using pasta sauce.
What?
Let's say true.
What?
Florida man disguised as bull tries to burn down ex's house using pasta sauce.
I want to meet this guy. I'm going to say fake just for the sake of winning or losing one of us.
That is real.
Okay, there you go.
All right, do you know what I did? I just said true to every single one.
I know you did. I know. I know.
So,
yep.
Because it is more likely that it happened.
He disguised himself as a bull.
What kind of pasta sauce?
I think it was Ragu.
Did it work?
Makes sense.
I don't know. He got arrested. So, trying to see if I've got that one pulled up anymore.
Is Ragu a good flammable source, or
I don't know.
If so, I need to not eat ragu.
Yeah, so this was back in 2018. Florida man, one disguised in bull costume, allegedly tried to burn down ex-boyfriend's home. Oh,
ex-boyfriend? It's a chick.
No, Florida men. It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yep.
Florida
men.
Oh, my God.
It was ragu. It was ragu.
It was ragu. Okay.
Yep. They found a burning pot of ragu sauce and a washcloth near the stove's burner, which appeared to be there in an effort to start a fire.
Okay. So he just tried to, like, boil over the sauce. Okay. He wasn't
you
like.
I thought he was, like,
I thought he was dousing the house with the sauce and
lighting
the
sauce
match.
On fire.
Yo, that's what I thought.
Yo, listen to this. Listen to this. This is the victim. I'm sorry to make fun of the victim, but just listen. This is the quote from the victim. He was trying to make it look like I left the stove on, but who gets up at 2 a.m. and fixes sketty?
Florida man.
So anyway, so there we go. That was we love Florida. Florida's a great state. Good stuff. Good stuff in Florida. So, all right, y'all. That is Corinth in your car. Subtitle of this episode is "Was it a burrito or was it God?" And so,
yeah, that's right.
And so, man, we really enjoy it. Be sure to check out your dashboard. Be sure to come back for the conclusion of our series. No, it'll be Memorial Day, but man, you need to come on back and join us for that. And then, first week of June, we're starting our Survey Says series. So, been working through some of that stuff as well. So, it'll be good stuff. So, blessings on your head. Have a great week. And don't get up at 2 a.m. to fix some sketty.